You're listening to the Ohio Conference Cast, where we explore topics related to the workings of Ohio Conference. Here are your hosts, Bill Seymour and Thomas Dunn.
Hello and welcome to the Ohio Conference Cast. This is Thomas Dunn.
And I'm Bill Seymour, and we are being joined today by Aaron Dye, who is on location at the Adriel School.
And also Darren Snyder-Belusic at Ohio Northern University. Welcome, guys.
Hey, thanks for having us.
So this is, this is only our third podcast, but this is the first time that we're recording from three different locations. So we're sorry.
Our technological skills are not known what we're known for. I'm not sure what we're known for anything.
I don't think we're known for anything at this point.
Yeah. So, Bill, why are we having Darren and Aaron join us?
Well, because they're lovely people.
Yeah.
So I joined Darren and Aaron on a committee that's, I guess, called The Voice. Not the This Is The Voice, not that, but another kind of voice. And we are a committee. Darren, would you describe what our committee is?
Our committee is kind of a parallel committee to the leadership team. And we've been, we are serving at the request of the leadership team on behalf of Ohio Conference. And we have been asked to put into action that Ohio Conference would seek to be actively engaged and have a distinctive voice to contribute into the overall denominational conversations and discussions and decisions. And that, of course, required that the conference communicate or have a channel of communication with the between our constituents and the denomination and its institutions and leaders. So that's where we fit in. We're sort of in between the Ohio Conference constituents and the institutions and leaders of Mennonite Church USA, and helping to facilitate communication both ways between the people of Ohio Conference and leaders and institutions of Mennonite Church USA.
Okay, well, that makes sense to me why you would be called The Voice. It also makes sense why you have some qualms about that. The title itself, that sounds like a good task. Now, I think we jumped ahead of ourselves a little bit there. Aaron and Darren, why don't you guys introduce yourselves a little bit, say who you are, what capacity you're serving. Aaron, why don't we start with you?
Sure. Well, Darren, I just want to say, I think that was a well-articulated description of who we are, so way to go. Way to take one for the team. Appreciate that. So I am a licensed chaplain at Adriel, and so I work with our youth on campus in West Liberty that have behavioral and developmental delays. And I'm licensed through Ohio Conference, and so that's how I've been affiliated in attendance in some of our major gatherings in the last couple of years. And so out of that, I also am fortunate enough to know many of the congregations in Ohio Conference through my Adriel work of like going and talking about Adriel, or a lot of congregations have had a long history of working with us and supporting us. And so when I think about the strengths that Ohio Conference has, there's just so many people and so many faces that come to mind as to who we are. And so I'm happy to serve in a capacity that helps us be united as a conference and not focusing on the things that make us different.
Good, thanks. And Darren, tell us a bit about yourself.
The most important fact about me as pertains to serving on this committee is that I'm simply a member of Salem Mennonite Church in Elida, Ohio, which is a congregation of Ohio Conference. And so I'm a member of the conference. I also happen to be married to the pastor of our congregation. And so that gives me somewhat of a pastor's perspective on what's going on inside Ohio Conference and the broader Mennonite Church. And here at Ohio Northern, I'm a philosophy lecturer. I teach professional ethics for the philosophy department. And I guess that's about that. I don't know what else you want to know.
Well, I learned something new when Bill was talking to me about this voice committee is that you're a published author of some pretty heady stuff. So tell us just a bit about that.
I have published 3 books in the past 5 years, and one is a book on atonement theology entitled Atonement, Justice, and Peace: The Message of the Cross and the Mission of the Church. And then another book entitled Good News: The Advent of Salvation in the Gospel of Luke, which, as you might guess, is on the Gospel of Luke. It would be good reading for Advent and Christmas season, but for any time of the year. And then also a collection of meditations and reflections on my own journey of discipleship. And it's entitled The Road That I Must Walk. And so, yes, I'm a published author, I guess.
that sounds interesting, and I'm making mental note here. I mean, there's probably how many future podcasts we could record just interviewing Darren on the things he has written, but we'll
Yeah,
stay to
you're
the
right.
task at hand right now. So now that we can come back to that very good explanation that Darren gave, and I have pulled up on my screen this statement of remaining with MCUSA that the leadership team proposed to ACA, and it was discussed there. So basically what was said there is Ohio Conference is choosing to remain a part of MCUSA in order to articulate to the denomination our perceptions of differences in doctrine and practice. And so that is what you guys came into existence for. So I guess any three of you can answer this, but tell us a little bit about your approach. I know as a member of leadership team, we did not give you a whole lot of details and exactly how we want you to do this. We just said, hey, why don't you go do this for us? And you guys are all sucker enough to say yes to the job, so we appreciate that. But what has been your approach, and what are some of the things you're doing?
I think about it being kind of twofold, that when we meet together, we've got to meet a handful of times for an extended period of time, that there have been some already tangible direct concerns made to Ohio Conference, made to our task force since we've announced that we're in existence, of just some pointed questions as to how MCO USA is handling this or that. And so for one side of our group, we're kind of dealing with these specific cases of things that we're doing the research on and figuring out what the question is that we're really asking of these agencies or of these different aspects of MCUSA. But then on the other side, as the people who are receiving these, we also are trying to interpret kind of a common concern, common themes, some roots as to why these questions are being posed, and would like to be able to, after we're continue, it's a work in progress of putting that together and then relaying that information back to leadership team and maybe even to MCUSA as to where Ohio Conference congregations are coming from and where the struggle is in feeling united.
Is there? I saw Bill about to say something. I can't see the rest of you guys. Is there anything else you wanted to add to that?
When the pastors were gathering for our Year of Covenant meeting a couple of weeks ago, I was fumbling through an explanation to the pastors about who we are, and Georgia O'Reilly added a good word at the end of my speech, as it were, and said, and I thought this was a good, concise statement, that we are facilitating disciplined conversation. And so for me, that has helped me to settle on what we are doing.
So disciplined conversations or conversations about discipline?
No, disciplined conversations.
So you guys aren't punishing anyone. That's not your role.
Well, you keep talking, we might.
Right. So has this, you'd mentioned you've started meeting a couple of times. I mean, is this process is it happening right now? Are there discussions happening? Are you still kind of gathering information from Ohio Conference, or where are you in this process?
Darren, why don't you address that, please?
Sure. Well, we've received several inquiries already from individuals as well as congregations. And so we've had to sort through those and see what are the kinds of questions and concerns that we can deal with, and others that perhaps don't really fall within the scope of what we're assigned to do. And then with those that we're able to go forward with, we've sort of divvied them up between myself and Bill and Aaron, and so we each kind of have an assignment that we're following up on and communicating with back with the where the question came from, the congregation or the individual who posed the question, as well as communicating forward with the appropriate institution or leaders that would be implicated, if you will, in the question in terms of who to answer the question. So one of the questions we're dealing with is, what's the role of the confession of faith in what are Mennonite church educational institutions are teaching? How is the confession of faith a factor in what is taught in our schools and colleges and seminaries and so forth? So we received that question from one congregation, in wanting to know, how the confession of faith plays into that and how it's being utilized and so on. So that's one question we need, and then of course we need to follow up with is, the Mennonite Education Association, or agency rather, MEA, which oversees those institutions and relates to them, as well as perhaps then also the individual institutions as appropriate to get some feedback for our congregation and for the whole conference, really, to know more about that. Another question that emerged was related to the materials that are published for the Mennonite Church to be used in, say, Bible school, Sunday school, and so forth, educational materials. And the questions are sort of in some ways about the theological content of those materials and what different perspectives are considered in the writing and editing and so forth of those materials, and how the publishing of those materials sort of relates to the presentation of the identity and theology of Mennonite Church USA to a broader audience beyond Mennonites, for those other congregations and denominations or whatever who might make use of those materials. Good. Well, that question would require then communication, right, with the Mennonite Publishing House and so forth, and to follow up on that.
So, Darren, why isn't it this just a simple matter of firing out an email and saying, hey, how do you guys treat the Confession of Faith?
Well, it's never good just to fire out anything. it's convenient, but boy, it's a shortcut, and that has to be recognized. I mean, I think this is a broader concern about communication in the age of social media and instantaneous communications like email and text messaging and other kinds of things, is that what can get lost in the middle of in the midst of that is recognizing that there are relationships, people on either end, and relationships that are involved, and we need to communicate in ways that are respectful and appropriate to those relationships. And so for one thing. For another, it's easy, given the ability to communicate at an instant and possibly to a large number of people on social media, it's easy to let emotion and anxiety and so forth, overwhelm the communication. And we end up communicating in ways that just increases anxiety, or that puts people at dis-ease, puts people on a defensive posture and so forth, or and so on, and which really gets in the way. It harms the relationship, and it gets in the way of communication. So these have to be, our communication needs to be weighed carefully. We need to seek out face-to-face communication when we can, and not go around that. And then we need to be thoughtful for how our communications will be received at the other end, that they're not received as in any way hostile or accusatory or anything, that we are genuinely making inquiries on behalf of our conference, and in doing so, opening up a two-way channel of communication, so that we can hopefully build trust, and at the same time as we're addressing the questions and concerns that are raised within our conference.
Good. So my question, I mean, it sounds like you guys are already, you said you've divvied out assignments, you're already doing this. I mean, how would you gauge, I mean, how's it going? I mean, obviously, if these conversations are ongoing, you want to respect the privacy of them until there's some form of closure. But if you guys could put some sort of gauge on it, how has the interactions been going thus far?
I'd like to comment kind of on that, even though I would say Darren's probably been the one who's had more research that he's followed up on his specific case he's working on. But for me, at least for the few that I've gotten back with, or just the we're all aware of who we're interacting with, whether they're kind of our case or not. For me, I appreciate the kind of immediate follow-up of that. We said, hey, we've got your concern. There are people out here who are interested in your concern. We're working on it. We're going to take it into full consideration. Or, hey, this is kind of what we think you're saying. Is this true? Like, if this is the question that we're posing, are we accurately representing you or your congregation, your leadership group, and what they've what they're asking of this institution? And so I have always appreciated just that we exist to show the congregations that their voice matters, and that, you know, leadership thinks that their voice matters, and so much so that we want to create a group that's going to hear it, that's going to be, impartial to what the concerns are, and are going to give it the attention that it deserves, versus maybe congregations just, maybe people have these same questions across the board, and so then that way, you know, one congregation presents this question to us, and then we can do some research on it and then relay it back to, you know, we'd love to relay some information about the MEA institutions, and that we could relay information that would be reassuring to the congregations that, like, okay, you know, these places are representing what we believe, and that would be then again a uniting thing versus leaving congregations to kind of just ask these questions amongst themselves and maybe let those things fester, or, you know, to think that nobody wants to know them, but we do, and that we go ahead and give that immediate follow-up, but also explain, well, this isn't just something we can answer by a quick email to these people either, but we are still working on it, and we value your opinion, and we hear that there might be some unrest about this certain topic for you or your congregation, and that we, you know, think that deserves our attention.
Yeah. So going part and parcel with that question then, is, so you fast forward maybe 6 months, 18 months, 2 years, whatever, what would you guys say is a success? If you would look back and say, this was a successful endeavor, what are some things that you would say, or that would tell you that it was successful? What would be some goals that are achieved, or how would you describe success in this?
Well, I can start that. This is Bill. For me, understanding would be a pretty good goal, that whatever questions are presented, that out of that there is mutual understanding. So if it's the educational institutions, that they would have an understanding of who Ohio Conference is and where we are, and that we would have an understanding with regard to our questions, at least what is happening in our educational institutions. That's my perspective. Darren, how about you?
Yes, I would echo that, and I think trust building is important. It's really hard to quantify that, but I think we've seen in the past while here, the past few years, that distrust can be corrosive, and it can be detrimental to the church as a body. And so I think building up trust between members of the body, whether it's between the conferences and the denomination, or between congregations and conference leadership, say within Ohio Conference, I think that's important. And I think when people know their concerns are heard, that their questions are pursued and they're not ignored, and when there's, you know, honest give and take back and forth in addressing those things, I think that builds trust, and it assures people that that they matter, and that there's a sense of accountability involved within the church structures at the conference level or denomination level. And I think that being reassured of that, I think, does help prevent distrust from forming in the first place.
If I would throw a hypothetical at you guys, so say in this process that you're doing and these conversations that are cropping up, you discover that there is a significant gap in understanding of the confession of faith for Institution X and Ohio Conference. And so through this healthy discourse that we're having, you find that Ohio Conference and this institution is at a very different place. What would you perceive? What would unfold there? Or how would you see that coming into play?
Well, I don't necessarily see us as like the keepers of determining those things as much, you know, like that we feel the need to make everyone so aware that they're not. I just think that we have a responsibility to relay the information and not necessarily the ones that need to follow up with either of those places as a sort of creating conflict or some sort of punitive. That's not really who we are.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that would be, that's not our role. Our role is, to go back to George O'Reilly's phrase, you know, is disciplined conversation. And then what is discovered or concluded as through those conversations, what's done with that, that belongs to leadership team, belongs to delegate assembly or the individual congregations or persons who have posed those questions to us. So, yeah, I think it's important for people within Ohio Conference and also for folks within, you know, that we're communicating with in the denomination, that is not our role. That we're playing the role of facilitator of conversation and that we don't have any authority in that regard for what is for any decision making. We're not making any decisions for Ohio Conference or anything like that. We're just helping Ohio Conference communicate with Mennonite Church USA.
Good. All right. Well, as we conclude here, is there anything that you three, as people are hopefully listening to these podcasts, is there anything that you'd like to say that would you could like churches to hear or people to hear that would make your task easier or be conducive to what you're doing?
You might want to remind folks that our contact information is on the Ohio Mennonite Conference website.
Well, hey, I have enjoyed this conversation. I've learned a lot, and I've kind of been a part of this process from the get-go, and I'm still learning some new things. So I'm sure anyone else that would tune into this is.
So are we.
Yeah, so are we, right?
So yeah, thank you, Aaron and Darren and Bill, for what you're doing for Ohio Conference. Hopefully you're getting some enjoyment out of it, but it sounds like you're doing great work. Thanks for taking the time to join us over the interwebs so we could have this conversation. So thanks for tuning in.
Yes, thank you very much, and have a good day, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Ohio Conference Cast. We'd like to hear from you. Email us at ohioconferencecast@gmail.com with any topics or questions you would like us to explore.